The title this afternoon is You Are My Light. And when we were singing the second and the third song, then I thought, Mazen, where you must probably have been praying the same as what I've been praying. Thank you. And that is awesome again, that if we come and we go to the Lord, that we can get the same message. So it doesn't matter where you're praying from, you get the same because we're all part of God's plan. And that is just awesome again. If we talk about light, I want to do it a little bit different. I want to start not with light, but I want to start with the opposite. I want to start with darkness. And then if we take a look at it, is that a lot of people are afraid of darkness. And they say it's more actually young children who are more afraid of darkness as it was is adults who are afraid of darkness. And then apparently darkness is also afraid of being for darkness is also going along that you are also sleeping not that good, that you're sleeping bad. So those two are going together. But if we talk about darkness, then the only thing what we can say about darkness, there's no way that you actually can describe it, because there's nothing. Light, we can describe it. Because light, and if we take then that one which we get over here, the picture which is coming up now, we can study light. We can have a look at Newton's prism, and then the light is coming in, it's breaking up. We can measure the speed of light and the wavelength of light. We can do all those type of things. But what darkness is concerned, there's nothing what we can measure over there. But we're going to come back to this picture a little bit later. When we've got light, something becomes visible for us. Now imagine yourself in your house if there was no light. It would be a little bit fancy and it would be a little bit tricky to make your breakfast in the morning because you're not quite sure if you're taking the orange juice or if you're taking the milk out of the fridge when you're making your cornflakes over there. All those type of things. We need light. If we go to work, at work we also need light. Because if we would come into work and we've got to find our way, we've got to speak to somebody, all those type of things. It maybe sounds a little bit strange, but I just wanted to get to that principle of light, how desperately we actually need light. Also in the retail environment, it's also light. If you would go into the shop and you couldn't see what you buy, and you would come out again, and then you've had a look at what you've got in your hand, and you see, okay, you bought a lemon instead of an orange, or you bought a packet of washing powder instead of a box of muesli. Yeah, different things. So we need light. Light is quite important. But light is also necessary for plants to survive and to grow. And what we, if we take a look at plants, plants are working with a photosynthesis, which means that they make food from sunlight. And plants are making food for us, and they're also making oxygen for us. So that's actually quite awesome what the plant is doing, but the plant is needing light for that. Light is also, for the plants, it's also that the plants are being used for making medicines, for making cosmetics, for quite a few different things. That's also where the plants are used for, and the plants can only produce once they've got light. Even our body, we also need light. If we do not get light, we do not produce ourselves vitamin D, which is an essential vitamin which we should get. So light is quite important. I've talked a little bit about the physical light, the light which we are used to in our normally day, but now I want to go to the spiritual type of light. And the first thing what we get is, if we take a look at the creation, the first day, what God made, He made light. He separated light and darkness. Now that's something which I think for a lot of engineers, if you say, okay, can you separate light and darkness for me? They would have said, no, it's impossible. But God did it on the first day. And it's so important because if there's no light, nothing else from the whole creation could have been done. And He did it on the first day. So the first day of the world, the first day of what God started with the creation, He made light. And light is very important over there. We maybe can get the scripture over there, Genesis 1 verses 3, where it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So there you've got the separation. There is where the day and the night principle started over there. He separated light from darkness. And light is, yeah, it's just awesome that there is light, because with light we can see things. And then the Lord also uses light. The first thing, I had a look at a few places where the Lord actually has been using light, and then the first one which I picked up was In the ninth plague, in the what the Lord did when the Israelites were leaving then Egypt, he had the tenth plague and then the ninth one, which was actually the, I nearly would say, the second severest one. He made darkness. And if we take a look at the scripture, what it actually says, then those people must have been quite afraid, the people from Egypt, because it says over there, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. Darkness, which may even be felt. And that must be quite severe, that you can feel the darkness. So Moses stretched out his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another. So then I think you feel quite isolated because you're so thick, the darkness, that you cannot see. Nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. So they had a public holiday over there, darkness holiday, 3 days. Couldn't see anybody over there. It was totally dark. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now who can do that? Create, split the light and darkness. And then the next one is like over here. The Egypts, they've got darkness in their places. The people from Israel, they've got light in their places. I think the Egyptians must have had a look at it and say, but wait a moment, what's happening over here? Why is it dark over here, and why is it light at the people of Israel? And I think they must have picked up something, but okay. Anyway, the Lord had to go to the 10th plague before Pharaoh let Moses go with all the people. The Lord also used light when he was a pillar of light. We read it in Exodus 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So as to go by day and night. So he created so much light that the people could see where they had to walk. There's so much light that they could see where they had to go. Again, if you really read these verses and have a proper look at it, and you say, but those type of things, they are really, those are miracles. And I think the people who walked along with it, if you were an Israelite and you saw that you had light and the people from Egypt only had darkness. And then later on, when you walk in the desert over there, the Lord is giving you light and you can walk. It is maybe 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the evening. I don't know what shifts they worked, the Israelites, but then they were walking and then there's light. They can walk. It is possible. So God used light. God is light. Can you just repeat that? God is light. We see it, I've taken 3 examples over there. The first one is where God was speaking to Moses. When God was speaking to Moses, Moses was absorbing the light from God. And when he came down, and when he was speaking again to the Israelites, he had to put a veil over his face, because his face was shining. So there we also can see God is light. In the Holy of Holies, in the temple, it's a place where there's no window, there's no light, there's nothing there, but it's light, because the presence of God is lighting up the place. And then the last one is that God is going to be our everlasting light. And that is something which has already been prophesied in Isaiah 60, where it says, the sun shall no longer be your light by the day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be an everlasting light, and your God, your glory. God is going to be an everlasting light. When we're going to be in heaven, there's going to be light, but it's light from God, which is going to shine over there. And that is something, yeah, we cannot describe. We think there must be a light switch somewhere, what we switch on, and there must be enough fluorescent tubes and all those type of things. God works on a total different level. Spiritual light, awesome. Revelations, it also says over there, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The lamp is its light. And that's so awesome that we're going to be with the Father forever and ever in heaven, and it's going to be light. And the presence of the Lord is going to light up that place, and it's just going to be awesome. Anyway, I'm going there. David also saw that the Lord had, that the Lord was light. He's saying it in Psalm 27, verses 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And such a testimony from David, what he says over there, the Lord is my light, because he knew what the Lord was for him. Because light is critical. If there's no light, then there's no life. We'll get to that one a little bit later as well. And that he's testifying it over here. He knows who he is in God, and he knows that he has got to trust in God, and he puts his trust in God. And then one verse, which most probably you all of them know, that is the one about the Psalm 119, verses 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word, which is the Bible, is a lamp to my feet. It gives me guidance. It tells me where to go. But the word, the power for the word, the source of the word is coming from the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a lamp to my feet. The Holy Spirit is telling me where to go, where to stop, where to be careful, to see where, if there are any dangers on my road or not. And a light to my path. God is not giving us a spotlight showing us the next 5 years. I'm a strategist, so I like to work on a 1, a 3, and a 5 year plan always. And you know exactly where to go. And when we had to come over here to Utrecht, I had to throw all those things away. And say, Lord, just show me what has got to be done. And then you go each and every time to go back to the Lord. Say, Lord, show me. So at the moment, what is written over there, I can experience that. It is like a torch which you've got, or you've got a small lighter, and you basically walk just like that. You can just see enough in front of you. I can't see what's happening over the next 3 or 5 years, but it's not my problem. I want to be in God's plan. I've got his light, and I'm following that light, and that's what is important for me. And David was also telling that when he was writing these Psalms 119. So, yes, you can ask the Lord to show you what's going to happen. But do not be surprised that the Lord is not going to give you a 1, a 3, or a 5 year plan. He will most probably give you something which is just enough for you. Once you're there, then you go to the next stage. Jesus said, he is the light. Can we just repeat? Jesus is light. And he's saying that in the first confirmation we get from that is in John, where it is about John the Baptist, which is going to be sent. John 1, verses 6 to 9. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light. So John the Baptist, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. What I want to just underline over here is that all, so it means that Jesus didn't come, that he wasn't light only for a few people, or only, let's say, for the Jews. He was light for all of them. And then again in the last sentence where it says, every man coming into the world can see that light. Every man, it is possible to accept Jesus Christ. It's not for a few privileged people. It is available for everybody, that light. And then Jesus said of it himself in John 8, verses 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who is following me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And there we can see the comparison, what it is saying over there. Light and darkness. On the one side, light. On the other side, darkness. On the one side, life. And on the other side, death. And this is what Jesus is telling us over here. If we follow him, and if we put our trust in him, he is the light, then we're going to have life, life forever. Right, we've been talking about God and light, Moses and light. We've been talking about David and light, Jesus and light. But now we come to us. We are the light. Can you repeat that? We are the light. Yes, we are the light. We are followers of Christ. And if Christ is the light of the world, then we have to reflect it, like that light bundle in the prism, which we saw just before. I don't know, can you just show us that picture again? The very first one. That one. How many colors were coming out of that one? Seven. How many spiritual gifts do we have? Seven spiritual gifts. And this, for me, it is actually such a reflection, because if Jesus is shining into us, we are showing the gifts of the Spirit to other people. And if other people are seeing the gifts of the Spirit in us, they can see Christ in us. This is picked up from Wikipedia. So without them actually knowing what they're doing, but they are sending a message out, because seven colors, seven spiritual gifts which are there, which is awesome. So we've got to live it out. We are the light. We've got to reflect that light which is coming from Jesus, what Jesus said, I am the light. We've got to reflect that light. Light is coming in, and we've got to shine it through to other people. In Matthew 5 verses 4, after he spoke about the salt, Jesus was talking about the light as well. He says, you are the light of the world. And he wasn't only saying it to those people sitting around him, he's saying it to us today as well. You are the light of the world. It's for me, it's also applicable for you. We are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in a house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. When we put a lamp in our house, we most of the time put it on the place where it is going to be the most effective. Agree? We do not put it outside. We put it inside, and we put it at a place where it is going to be most effective. If you're going to have, if you're going to buy a light for next to your bed, you're not going to put it so far away from it that you cannot switch it on and off when you're in bed. At least that's in our house the case. I hope it's the same with you. So what I'm trying to say over there, we know exactly where to place the light, that you're going to get the most out of it. The Lord is also placing us in places where our light is going to be the most effective in that area. So where you are at the moment and where I'm at the moment, this is where the Lord wants me to be, where the Lord wants you to be, and where you're going to be the most effective, and where you're going to shine your light the best to all the other people. And then we mustn't put a bucket over it that our light is not going to shine. We've got to let the light shine. And we've got to walk in the light. So we've got to be the light, but we also have got to walk in the light. Paul is writing in Ephesians over there. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the death, and Christ will give you light. If we're going to be light, we are going to expose the darkness which is around us. If we are light, and if we're walking into an area where things are happening which is incorrect, like Renee was testifying as well, that lady Anouk at the work which she's over there, she walked in over there, that unrighteousness which was happening over there with the people looking at porn over there, it was exposed and it's been sorted out now. And those are the type of testimonies what we've got. If we are the light, and if we are going to go into the places, into the dark places, we are going to expose it over there. In 1 Peter 2 verses 9, it says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We were in the darkness as a result of Adam and Eve. When we accepted Jesus Christ, we moved into the light. We became light along with Jesus. And then Jesus also said to us, you are the light of the world, and we've got to show that to other people. We need light to live. And I think that's quite obvious. If we take a look at what's happening in our world, we need light. If we didn't have any light, it would be very difficult for us to live. We've seen it about the plants, what we've spoken about just now. House, work, all those type of things we need. We need life, otherwise we are going to be very difficult, or it will be very difficult for us to move around. And with the light in us, there is no place for darkness. Because that's the other thing. If we're going to be filled up with light, then there's no place for darkness. Darkness cannot move into an area of light. Light can only move into an area of darkness. So the light can come into us. And if we are the light, then the darkness should not come into us and cannot come into us. And if we allow Jesus in our lives, then there's no place for darkness. And if we allow Jesus then into our life, the devil hasn't got any right on us anymore, because we've taken the decision. We are light together with Jesus. We are a light for the world, and there's no place for darkness over there. Light is not passive. If we are the light, then we're not standing still, but we're moving. Okay, I'm going to give you the speed of light, but I'm not going to give it as fast as the speed of light, but I'm going to say it slowly. Meters per second. I'm not going even for kilometers per hour, because it's too long. 299,792,458 meters per second. Okay, if we go to kilometers per minute, it's still a 17 million kilometers per minute. That's the speed of light. Lord, the Lord is comparing us with light. Light is moving. Light is not standing still. It's not passive. It's active. And we also have got to be active. We shouldn't be passive. When I was preparing this sermon, and I started earlier this week, and as I was talking to people, and as I was getting scriptures from, on a daily basis, I'm getting a scripture from somewhere and so on, and then the one verse after the other one, it's each and every time it's linked up to light, linked up to light, linked up to light. When we had a chat yesterday evening, it was linked up to light, and I just had to keep quiet and just laugh and say, Lord, yes, I'm getting the message. I've got to preach about light. And it's so awesome when I was busy with it. And then on Thursday evening, where Renee was talking about, and I experienced myself, is that the things what I'm going to mention just now is, I'm not preaching for you. I'm preaching for myself as well. It's not that I'm giving a message for you, but I'm also, in preparing the sermon, I also got a message which is applicable for me, which I think is applicable for you as well. There are two things what I would like you to take along this afternoon, two things which I think is very important. We can only know, we can only be the light if we know what we've got to do in the light. Then we can only be the light. If we take a look at the verse, what we've already read, it's Ephesians 5 verses 8. And it says there, for you were out of darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. If we want to be light, and if we want to be light in the area where we're moving around, we've got to know what the Lord wants us to do. We've got to find out from the Lord. We cannot go with our own agenda and say, okay, today I'm going to be light for five people at work, and tomorrow I'm going to be this, or the day after that I'm going to be that. No, we've got to go to the Lord, and we've got to ask Him. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, then we can be the light, what the Lord wants us to be. And that, of course, if we want to find it out from the Lord, we can only find it out if we've got a living relationship with Him. We've got to talk to Him. We've got to find out from Him what the Lord wants us, what we should do in our life. A living relationship means that you can communicate with Him. Quite often I'm referring then to the relationship that I've got with my wife. In the beginning, I had to find out, did she like coffee or did she like tea? Did she want to have milk or sugar in it or what, and so on and so on. And with that, you build up a relation and you know what she likes and what you know what she doesn't like. So the next time you know, okay, she likes coffee, don't make her tea. If she likes chocolate milk in the evening, then you make that, or warm milk, or whatever the case may be, but you do what she likes to do, because there's a, I'm asking, I'm getting a response, and I'm finding out what is pleasable for her. And it's the same with the Lord. We've got to find out what is acceptable to Him, and then we can be a light. So the one thing what I would like you to remember is that we're going to communicate with the Lord and find out what do we have to do to be the light in the world. And then the next one is, because it's one thing which I didn't actually mention in the beginning with the plants, is that light is necessary for growth. And a plant has got to grow, otherwise nothing is happening. I'm not a farmer, but I know a little bit about it. And I know if If a plant is not getting light, it cannot grow. If it cannot grow, it cannot flourish. If it cannot flourish, it cannot bear fruit. So it's basically, we need light if we want to bear fruit. We need that light. It's just critical that we should have it. If a plant is not getting light, the plant is dead. It's basically doing nothing. It's just stable. It's just standing there and not producing anything. And we've got the same principle in business terms. If a business is not growing, they basically say a business shouldn't be there. Business should be growing. Otherwise, for out of business principle, better close the business and do something else. The receiver of revenue is even stating that if you've been in business and you've made three successive years, you made negative, you didn't make a profit, they say close your business and do something else. So they're quite critical about that. We've got to grow, otherwise we're not going to bear fruit. The verse what I want to mention over there is Acts 13, verses 46 and 48. That is when Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch and when they were preaching over there. If we go even a little bit further back, in the beginning of 13, Barnabas and Paul have been sent because the people fasted, prayed, laid hands on them, and then they sent them out. And then they went to Antioch, and then they went to the synagogues, and then they were preaching for the Jews. But the Jews didn't like it. And that we read a little bit more, because the 1 week, Paul and Barnabas were preaching over there, and then the next week, they were preaching again. But a lot of people came, Jews and Gentiles, because they wanted to hear what Paul and Barnabas were saying over there. And if we read then what it says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. And this is what we also expect in our world, what we also experience in our world, that if we're talking about the Lord, they say, no, this is not correct what you're saying over there. No, Jesus didn't exist. No, the Lord didn't create this world. They are contradicting what you're saying over there. They're even blaspheming the things what you're saying over there. And then if we take a look at what the reaction was from Paul and Barnabas when they heard the Jews who were saying that, but you're blaspheming and they were contradicting, then Paul and Barnabas, that's verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles, for the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the end of the earth. Paul and Barnabas went to Antioch, and they were preaching to the Jews. The Jews reacted negatively. Instead of Paul and Barnabas taking the bag and say, okay, now we're going, they grew boldly. And this is something what I want to give you today. We also have got to grow boldly. Because Thursday evening when we were also walking around, you've got to speak to other people of what Jesus has done in your life. And when we were finished with the evening, I also thought, but wait a moment, it wasn't correctly what we've been doing. We've got to grow boldly. If the Lord is telling you to do something, then you don't have to be afraid. Then we can go out. Then we can be boldly. Then we can tell whatever has got to be told. Even if the Jews, even if the people in Utrecht are telling you, no, God doesn't exist, they are contradicting what you're saying, they're even blaspheming the Lord, then we must grow boldly. We bring still the message to the people, because this is what the Lord has been telling us. And it says over there, I've set you as a light to the Gentiles. And that is coming out of Isaiah 46, verses 2. I've set you out as a light to the Gentiles. We've got to be a light. Outside Utrecht, and with respect, Susanne, I think India is maybe also a dark place, if we take it spiritually. You're walking as a light in there. We are going to be a light in the places. And that is awesome what we can do over there. And then the next one, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. It's also coming out of Isaiah. That is coming out of 49 verses 6. We're bringing the message of hope. We're bringing the message of that there's salvation for their condition is what we've got at the moment. But we've got to grow boldly. I had to experience it as well. When I was busy with this sermon, I also got the message. I've got to grow boldly. I've got to stand up. I've got to be able to speak to other people. I've got to not to be afraid. If the Lord has told us to come over here in Utrecht and to start an English-speaking church, then we've got to speak to other people. Not only me, all of us. And then maybe those who are listening, maybe afterwards to the sermon as well. All of us, we've got to stand up. And we don't have to be afraid. We can grow boldly. Because the Lord has given us that instruction. Let's stand so that we can pray. Heavenly Father, it's so awesome to know that you're the creator of light, that you've made light, that you are light, and that you want us to be light, light for your kingdom in this place, in Utrecht, and the other places where we're going, and the other places where we're moving around, that people can see the light. And Lord, I pray that we're going to be the light, that the people, if they look at us, if they see the light coming out of us, if they see the gifts of the Spirit working out of us, that they can see, but there's light. Because this light is coming from Jesus. We are reflecting the light from you, Lord. And I pray that this is going to happen in our lives as well, Lord. And that we are not afraid of it, Lord. But that we will stand up and that we will grow boldly. And that we will put our foot down and say, but this is for the kingdom of God. He has sent us. We've got to bring the light over here to Utrecht. And even it can be a dark place spiritual-wise. But Lord, we are the light. And the light can move into the darkness. The darkness is not going to keep us away. The darkness is actually, I nearly would say, attracting us. Because this is where we've got to go. We've got to go to dark places and we've got to be the light. Lord, I pray as well, Lord, that we together will be a strong light, Lord, which is going to make a difference in this surroundings over here, Lord, where we also have experienced that we've got cooperation with other churches in Utrecht, Lord, that we can stand together again with different denominations, that we've got one goal, Lord, that your light is going to be shining over here in Utrecht, Lord, that your kingdom is going to come. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray that in the precious name of Jesus. I'm basically finished with my sermon now, but I'm going to ask you something. And as we're going to listen to the song just now, I'm giving you an invitation. If you say, yes, I want to grow boldly, as what Paul and Barnabas also were growing boldly. I want to be boldly the next time, if I'm coming in a dark place, I'm not going to keep quiet. I'm going to say something. I'm going to mention something. I'm going to reveal to other places, to other people. I'm not ashamed of it. People at work can know that I'm a Christian because that's something what I'm not going to hide away. And if you say, yes, I want to grow. Yes, I want to be boldly. Then I'm inviting you to come forward. And I'm just going to anoint you. And if the Lord has given me a certain word, then I'm going to give you a word as well. But if you say, yes, yes, you also feel that this message is for you this afternoon, you want to come forward, then I'm going to anoint you for that. If you, once the song is finished or during the song, if you feel you would like to take a cup of coffee or tea and communicate with other people, feel welcome to do so. And then the last one, if there's anything what you've got a specific prayer for, if it is for healing, if there's anything else what you say you would like to bring something to the Lord, what you would like to pray about, then I'm going to give you the opportunity, well, when I'm finished with anointing, that you can come forward and that I or somebody else can pray for you for the healing or for whatever the situation is. So I'm inviting you. If you say yes, I want to be bold as well. I want to grow bold for the kingdom of God because I want to be part of His light. I don't want to be a small 40-watt light, but I want to be a spotlight of 150 or 500 watts of I don't know how many lumen or whatever it is. You want to grow boldly, then come forward. Then I want to anoint you. Then I feel as well that the Holy Spirit is going to equip you as well to be boldly. And next time when you come into the situation that you've got to speak up for the kingdom of God, there's nothing which is going to keep you quiet. Then you are going to stand up. Then you're going to open your mouth. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak through you then. I'm inviting you to come forward.